Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. Good morning. This is your announcer, Karen Lorenz Dowdle, seated just off the chancel of St. John's Lutheran Church on this, the third Sunday of Easter. As this commentary leads you through our worship service, we hope you will feel as if you are here with us in person. Our order of worship this morning will be the liturgy for Holy Communion by Marty Hagen. The cantor this morning is Laura Tyrone. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Christ the Life of All the Living, hymn number 94 in Lutheran Worship.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you this morning for worship. It's the third Sunday of Easter. We are following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the
Lord. Have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Let us pray. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen.
The lector this morning is Laura Tyrone. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Laura.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 16. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He replied, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 30 as it is printed in your worship bulletin.
I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever.
Our second reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
Stand, if able, for a reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat.
Join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "Come Follow Me, Said Christ the Lord," hymn number 379 in Lutheran Worship. This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
Come follow me, said Christ the Lord, all in my way abiding, your selfishness throw overboard, obey my call and guiding, bear your crosses and straying. I am the way, and well I show how you should journey here below. My heart is rich in lowliness, my soul with love is glowing, my lips the express, their tones all gently flowing. My heart, my mind, my strength, my all, to God I yield, on Him I call. I teach you how to shun and flee what harms your soul's salvation, from every guile to free, from sin and its temptation. I am the refuge of the soul, and lead you to your heavenly goal. Then let us follow Christ our Lord, and take the cross appointed, and firmly clinging to His word, in suffering be undaunted. For those who bear the battle strain, the crown of heavenly life obtain.
My dear brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from St. John's Gospel, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 19. That's the Gospel reading that Laura read for us just a few moments ago. Now I have to confess to you that every time I hear this Gospel reading, the story of Roy Riegel comes to my mind. Do you know the story behind Roy Riegel? Well, I'll share it with you. Roy Riegel was playing in the 1929 Rose Bowl. Well, as it would happen in that particular game, what he did was he recovered a fumble, and he raced to the goal line. Now that sounds all good, as long as you're going in the right direction. Now, I'm not much of a sports person, so it's kind of awkward that I'm even using a sports illustration, but this sounds very much like something I would do. Have the ball, don't care where I'm going, I just have the ball and I'm running. But anyway, so that's the problem though. He picked up this ball that was fumbled, and he started beelining in the wrong direction. Well, fortunately, one of his teammates tackled him before he got to the goal line. Now, I don't know how the sports stuff works, but if he would have actually crossed that goal line, what happens? Scores for the other team. Okay. So, fortunately, his teammate tackled him. But you see, that put the other team at an advantage and put them in a better position in the long run to win that particular game that day. Well, when halftime came, Roy Riegel and the rest of his team went into the locker room. Now, I can imagine that those moments in that locker room must have been pretty tense, and I suspect Riegel wasn't quite sure what his role would be in the remainder of that game. In fact, Riegel was off in the corner crying. He knew what he had done. He knew that he messed up big. Now, in that locker room, though, the coach said very, very little, except this. As halftime was nearing its end, he said to the team, "Go back out, fight hard. And the same ones who started the game in the first half are going to start the game in the second half." And that included Riegel. Well, you could imagine Riegel's surprise over this. "Coach, I can't go back out in that game. I've embarrassed you. I've embarrassed our team. I've embarrassed myself. I can't go out there and I can't face all of those people. I just can't do it." The coach looked right at Riegel and said to him, The game is only half over. Get out there. Fight hard." So Riegel got up. He went back out. He played. And as it turns out, he played the game of his life. In fact, dare I say, there has never been a football player that played quite the way that he did that second half. You see, friends, Riegel got a second chance. Second chances are kind of a big deal, aren't they? I suspect with my mother just to my left, I was a good kid. Put a lot, right? Thank you. Can't lie in church. Anyway, I suspect a lot of us probably would not have made it successfully through our childhood if it weren't for second chances. And that got me thinking about the gospel for today. Second chances. Let me set the stage a little bit for you. It's post-resurrection. It's post-crucifixion as well, of course. And here again, we find the disciples. And as we meet these disciples this morning, they have this most remarkable encounter with the risen Jesus on the shoreline. Now, everything that we heard in that gospel reading for today is remarkable, and we could spend the entire afternoon talking about it. You want to? Sunny and 65 today. Anyway, we could spend the entire afternoon talking about the content in this gospel. The fishing, the number, breakfast, the reconnecting. But of all of those things, what especially stands out and stood out for me was Peter. Now, you know how it went with Peter. Peter had done some not so good things. You see, if you kind of go back in Peter's history, if you remember, at one point, he admitted that Jesus was the Christ. Remember that in the Bible? Jesus asked the question, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter, of course, is the first one to fire up, and he says, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah." And Jesus says, "Right on, Peter." And then Jesus goes on to share and explain what his ministry is going to be all about. And he says he's going to be crucified, he's going to die. And how did Peter react to that? No. What'd you say?
He would die with him.
Yeah, he would die with him. But Peter didn't like that idea, though, did he? "Surely not you, Lord. No way." But Peter wanted to stay right by his side. But that death thing wasn't at all what they envisioned. of the Messiah. And so in his own kind of way, Peter, he revolted a little bit. Now fast forward to Jesus' journey to the cross. When Peter is asked, "Do you know this guy? Hey, you know this guy." What did Peter do? Denied him. Not once. Not twice. Three times. Now, interestingly, in the gospel, how many times did Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Coincidence? Not so much. But Peter, like us, he did some things. And of course, thinking back on his actions, Peter was remorseful. In fact, after he denies Jesus, what does he do? He runs off. So upset. He was remorseful. And here we are today. Here we are today with this gospel. And what we see is the true nature of our Jesus as he engages with Peter. There on that shoreline, Peter isn't chastised. Peter isn't given a hard time. But there on that shoreline, Peter's embraced. Peter's forgiven. Peter's reconciled. And Peter's recommissioned. New. To engage in that ministry once again. You see, Peter got a second chance. You know, like Peter, I suppose you and me, we know the pain of denial in all different kinds of ways. We've denied other people at times in our lives. Dare I say that we've even denied God. And in life, sometimes we're denied, aren't we? But like Peter, something happens for us. Something changes us. Something impacts our circumstances. You see, friends, like Peter, we too are blessed to have an encounter with the risen Jesus, our God of second chances. Jesus, you see, died and he rose for you and me. And because he did, when you and me fall short, when you and me deny, and we do, there he is. There he is, ready. There he is, never to turn his back on us. But there he is, ready to call us back, waiting patiently for us to turn to him. There he is, ready, waiting to forgive us, to restore us. We, the remorseful, aren't turned away, but embraced and loved. And how that reality makes all of the difference for us, for our lives, for our relationships. How that reality shapes how you and me respond. You know, being real with each other this morning, sometimes it's a lot easier just to deny others, isn't it? When someone wrongs us, when someone does something that we don't agree with, how quickly at times we can be a people that turn our backs. How quickly we can hold grudges, how we can have hard feelings and harbor those hard feelings. But today Jesus shows us something. Today Jesus gives to us a model. See, friends, there's nothing wrong with second chances. After all, we've been recipients of it. So I suppose how it should go for us today and as we walk out the doors is if we're resisting, if we're digging our heels in, now's the time to work it out. Now's the time to move in the direction toward reconciliation. Now's the time to forgive. Now's the time to begin anew. And when that happens, you'll never look back. Now there's one more thing. Being real about life. Sometimes we can be a people who feel denied ourselves, right? Sometimes we feel denied by others. Sometimes we feel denied by our circumstances. And how we can feel like we don't stand a chance. How we can feel lost. How we can feel hopeless. Stuck. And I suppose that's how Peter and the rest maybe felt after Jesus died. Denied and stuck. Denied by people, many people in the world. Stuck in their circumstances, stuck in their frustrations, stuck in their grief, stuck with no hope, no future. But when all the odds seem to be stacked, when all hope seemed to be gone, when they felt empty, the risen Jesus burst in, didn't he? You see, he beat the odds. And it's this Jesus who says to them, don't despair. Don't lose hope. You're still in the game. My presence and my power are at work. Hey, if you don't believe me, drop your net on the other side. You know, no matter the pattern in life, no matter the difficulty, the risen Jesus is bigger than them all. And he has the power to pick us up. When you and me find ourselves frustrated, despairing, uncertain, it's his voice. It's his word that's there to calm us, to refocus us, to recommission us and remind us. When you and me feel denied sometimes in life, there he is. His love unconditionally. His love inviting us back into his presence to be strengthened, to be affirmed. Thanks be to God for our Jesus, the God of second chances. How his love and how his model makes all the difference for our lives. Second chances matter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored in loving memory of Abigail Grace Surface's second birthday in heaven. Sponsorship is given to God's glory by Abigail's parents, Randy and Samantha Surface, and her grandparents, Edwin and Deanne Lorenz.
In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer for Kathy Olson. Kathy is a friend of our congregation, a regular worshiper at the 11:15 service, but she's going to be having some surgery, so please say a word of prayer for her. We continue to say prayers for Sharon Wagel. Sharon was hospitalized this past week at Millard Fillmore Suburban Hospital. Sharon is just having a difficult run, her just general weakness, difficulty ambulating, so they wanted to check her out at the hospital. She's back home now, and she's receiving some nursing care at home and some rehab at home. So please continue to hold Sharon in your prayers that the good Lord would continue to strengthen her and bless all of those people who are taking care of her. The one thing, while she's weak, her sense of humor has not left her. When I walked into the hospital and saw her on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day it was, I just kind of asked a general question, what brings you in here now or something like that? And I can't share with you her response with me over the radio or in a worship service, but needless to say, I think that they could hear me laughing about six doors down. So she continues to have just a most remarkable sense of humor. So, you know, include that in your prayers for her this week, that she continues to hold on to that joy that she has and that laughter that she has in her heart. For Gus Goldberg, to a friend of Carol Coffin, he was to have a procedure up at Roswell, but unfortunately they had to cancel that. So please pray for Gus. We say a prayer for John Sweeney. John Sweeney is up at ECMC. They had to open his hip back up because of infection. So he's recovering from that. Keep John in your prayers. For Tony Chapman, Bob informed me yesterday that Tony has been fighting a pretty nasty infection. She's got a viral infection, and it's just knocked her down. So please keep Tony in your prayers. For Dave and Laura Tyrone's Aunt Kay, she's in critical condition at the hospital. Cece Blake's brother, David, who's scheduled to have some surgery. Karen informed me this week that our longtime florist, Bob Bangert, passed away. So we say a special word of prayer for the Bangert family as they mourn the death of Bob, but rejoice in his new life. And last but not least, ending on a happy and positive note, we say a special word of prayer on behalf of Karen Schaefer. Karen called me this week to inform me about Bangert's, but she also informed me that she's receiving some new treatments for her eyes. She said just a really, really difficult go, pain in her eyes. She's seen a new doctor, new medications, so there's hope and joy. And I think, Karen, I can't see you, but I think she's already seeing positive results. So we lift our hands up in praise to God and thanksgiving for that healing that's coming for Karen, a long, long couple of years dealing with this. So Karen, we rejoice with you this morning and pray with you for continued healing. Let's pray.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, with joy, the church continues to celebrate the resurrection victory of your beloved Son. Look in your mercy on all who have been baptized into his death and resurrection. We pray especially for the Marsh, Martino, Matthews, Matuzak, and Mall families, and all others in our congregation. Grant them grace each day to die to sin and rise to newness of life with him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Fountain of mercy, you call your people to love and to serve those in need. Pour out your blessing on the mercy ministries of our synod and of your whole church, that through their devoted service, many may come to know and praise your unspeakable kindness and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
King of kings and Lord of lords, to you we commend our public servants in this land. Bless and prosper them in their callings. Hinder everything in our common life that is contrary to your will, and establish and strengthen every good endeavor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of kindness and compassion, your Son, throughout his ministry, healed the sick and relieved the distressed. Remember in tenderness those who are in need of his healing and comfort today, especially Kathy Olson, Sharon Weigel, Gus Goldberg, John Sweeney, Tony Chapman, Aunt Kay, David, the Bangert family, and Karen Schaefer. By the power of your Holy Spirit, grant them grace to entrust themselves entirely to your loving care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Master, your beloved Son summons us to his table to partake of his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, for a share in his own divine life, and for our everlasting salvation. Grant to us repentance and faith that we may receive the Eucharist in a worthy manner, and to our abundant blessing, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Giver of the life that never ends, receive today our heartfelt thanks for all your servants who have departed this life in saving faith and who live with you forevermore. In your boundless love, bring us with them to share in the joys of the new heavens and the new earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels, with archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy are you, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in your name. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, in mercy for our fallen world. You gave your only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As we've received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's share that peace with one another. Peace be with you.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass his peace on to someone else today.
Thank you.
As the people of St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion, the congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn during the distribution of the sacrament is, "Draw Near and Take the Body of the Lord," hymn number 240 in Lutheran Worship. People of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are by being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. This is your announcer, Karen Lorenz Dowdle, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead. God bless you all.
impart his joy and his peace.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Have a seat for a moment. Good morning again. Good to see you. Good to worship with you. Hope you've been blessed in your time here this morning. A very, very special word of welcome to some guests and visitors who are here with us this morning. And we certainly pray that you've been blessed in your time here at St. John's. We've been blessed to have you. If you are visiting with us this morning, if you can, just take a minute. We have a guest book out in the fellowship area. If you can sign that guest book for us, we would greatly appreciate it. The guest book is just really right behind the, right almost to the side of the door when you step out. So again, if you could do that for us, we'd appreciate it. Quick couple of things, and then I'll have you on your way. We started announcing last week that our chicken barbecue is coming up. It's the 19th of May. It's a Sunday afternoon from 12 to 3. If you're interested in purchasing tickets for the barbecue, Nancy is out in the fellowship area selling those tickets. So please grab them from her before you go. Any proceeds that we raise from the barbecue will, of course, much of our work this last couple months has been geared toward our youth attending the National Youth Gathering. So any proceeds that are raised will go to help them on their trip. In the prayers this morning, I mentioned a friend of Carol Coffin. His name is Gus. But anyway, he was scheduled for a procedure at Roswell, and I'm not quite sure what the details of all of that were. Carol had asked if I would just make an announcement to the congregation that if you've given blood or donated platelets in the past, or even if you haven't and are willing, there's a desperate need at Roswell for blood and platelets donations. So if you're interested in doing that, I don't have many more details on that, but I'm sure you could contact Roswell and they can explain to you how to go about in doing that. But from what I understand, there's a significant shortage in those things, blood and the platelets. So anyway, just something for you to consider. Another way that you can help out folks in our community. That's all I have for announcements. Is there anything that I'm missing? Elena, yes. Okay. All right. Everybody catch that? You hear? Sign-up sheet for geraniums for Pentecost up on the bulletin board. 5 cent increase. But it's what it is. All right. Last thing. We're blessed once again to have our partner in ministry from St. Luke's in Cheektowaga. Ed is here. He runs the food pantry over there and just has a few things to say.
For those of you that don't know me and are wondering who the bald guy is who's not getting late, I am from St. Luke's Food Pantry. I'm coming to all three of your services this week to thank you for your very generous donations monthly, usually, to our food pantry. And also for the very, very generous financial donation that you gave to our food pantry. Over $600, which enabled us to buy a much-needed freezer. The freezer that we replaced was on again, off again, on again, off again. And at one point, it made us lose quite a bit of food. So with this new freezer, we're assured that what we receive will be in good shape. We're very blessed by not only St. John's, but other congregations that donate to us. And without your donations, we wouldn't be able to do the job we're doing. And it's not only the unemployed or downtrodden in that, it's sometimes also the underemployed people that come to us. Also, when the government was shut down, we did have people that came to our food pantry, and because of your donations, we were very happy and able to give them assistance during their hard times. So, just once again, I want to thank you for all your dedicated donations to our food pantry. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. That's it, everyone. Have a blessed day.